And good morning, KPQ News time at 8:05. We've entered the third and final hour of the KPQ Morning Update for Thursday. It's the 20th of March, 2025, and has promised a legislative hotline for you today featuring 7th District State Senator Shelley Short along with 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick. They're joining us live from the Capitol in Olympia this morning. And ladies, I appreciate the time very much. Thanks.
Thank you.
So we're kind of down. Is this officially the home stretch, would we call it now, of the legislative sessions for the year?
Well, it's definitely the second half. And it's getting pretty close to that. We're feeling it. Yeah.
All right. So
we've got about 5 weeks to go, something like that. Yep. So
5 weeks.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say 5 weeks left and obviously a lot left to do. So is it crunch time?
Yeah. It very much is. This is the time that all the budget proposals, you know, start coming forward. The public gets an idea, you know, a better idea of what's going on here and what the proposals look like.
And that's a good place for us to start this morning. Shelley, we'll stay with you for that. Let's talk about the Republicans' budget proposal right now. What is that looking like, and how do you go at, I guess, dealing with a budget that is looking at such a tremendous shortfall over the course of the next biennium?
Sure. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for that lead-in. What we've been able to do in our budget proposal really shows that we're calling it the third way, which is something that really looks at how programs are working, how they're not, and really the foundational thing that we need to continue to do, like, you know, our funding for education, making sure that our most vulnerable in Washington are, you know, maintain their services. It makes really smart investments in public safety, but it also demands accountability and tightens the state government's belt. The thing that I will say is it's a real budget proposal. It's over 1,000 pages, and it has been tremendous work supported by, you know, real numbers and nonpartisan staff. You know, we do not fund the collective bargaining agreements, but we do give bonuses to state workers as a way to show our appreciation. We keep teacher bonuses, but it really does it in a thoughtful way that can show that it can be done without raising taxes. So we're hoping that the Democrats are really going to take a look at some of the things that we do and maybe consider placing some of those in their budget proposal.
Shelley, you know, when people balance their checkbooks or when they look at what's going on in their life, I guess, as far as money's concerned for a household, I'm not exactly sure what $12 billion would be tantamount to for the average person. But I'm guessing a lot of people may be looking at this and saying, how is Washington State ever going to be able to come back from this? It seems so insurmountable. So I guess that would be my question for you, just as one senator. Sure. Can Washington actually come back from a budget deficit of this size, and how long will it take, do you think?
Well, I think the first question is we need to look at the size of what that really looks like and what it's made up of. So to begin with, nonpartisan staff, those are the folks that know the ins and outs of all of the ongoing budget programs, say really that the deficit was really around $6 to $7 billion, which is still an incredibly huge number. But look, if you added the collective bargaining on top of that, that's another $4 billion. If you add things that we call it putting programs on layaway, that really legislation that was passed, you know, a few years ago, but now is coming due, the debt coming due, or the invoice, if you will. If we take those things off the table, as I think we aptly should, then it's not a $12 billion hole. Look, we have been concerned. Our revenue in the state of Washington is fine. Is it less than it has been? Sure, but we're still in the positive in terms of revenue. It's been the overspending. So I think that's really what our budget does, is try to right size that.
All right, very good. Again, 7th District State Senator Shelley Short joining us this morning. She's along with 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick, who we'll swing to now for a conversation. Judy, I appreciate your time this morning. I know you wanted to talk to us today about a couple committees that you serve on, including Human Services and Higher Education.
Right. So the Higher Education Committee, Higher Education and Workforce Development, we're winding down. We don't seem to have as many bills that came over from the House. So our last committee hearing is going to be on Monday. But we have some interesting bills there. One in particular is a bill from the House, 1705. It's Rep. Dent's bill, and it's to study how we can help veterinarians. So those are animal doctors. How we can improve the numbers that are coming through our system, because we just don't have enough animal doctors, especially for large animals. We have the best university in the country for veterinary school, and that's WSU. So Rep. Dent put together a bill that will create a work group. I think it flew through the House, so we're hoping to take it up soon in the Senate to create that work group, because anybody who has animals knows animals get sick and they get hurt, and we want somebody there to take care of them.
All right, very good. And then how about higher ed? Is that what factored in there?
Yeah, that's okay. That's what factored. And then Monday we're also going to have, or maybe it's today, I don't recall, we have a committee today, and we're going to look at AI. In education. The other member, Senator Behnke, that's on that is a professor at a community college, and that's his specialty is AI. So we're going to learn all about how that's going to fit into our education system. So I'm excited about that and a little terrified. I want real teachers teaching our students, and I want our students to learn how to use it correctly. But so it's going to be very interesting to know more about that in the education system.
All right, very good. And I know you'd referenced some bills that you had that were kicking around as well. Are those still active?
A couple of them, but I'm going to swing over to the other committee I sit on. And that's the Human Services Committee, deals with Department of Children, Youth, and Families, deals with Department of Corrections. And lately, we've been talking a lot about juvenile rehabilitation systems. We passed a law several years ago increasing the age of inmates or folks who commit crimes to age 25. That could be in our juvenile rehabilitation system. We don't have enough room for those folks. And so we're trying to figure out how to either find places in Department of Corrections, because we have two juvenile rehab places on the west side. There's many counties have them, but the biggest statewide ones are on the west side. And we have about 40% more individuals in those facilities than what's set up. And so yesterday we heard about a bill that about riots, prison riots. There's many charges for inmates that are in those. They might have a fight because they're so crowded. Well, then they get charged with prison riot, and then they add another year onto their sentence. One young man that testified, he'd been in juvenile rehab 7 years, and that's not what we want to do with our juveniles. Yes, there's horrific crimes that some of them commit, but 7 years is too long to be in a juvenile facility. So it's a difficult conundrum. We said we want those older inmates in there, but now we're paying the price for putting them there.
All right, 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick talking to us this morning here on the KPQ Legislative Hotline, part of the morning update for this Thursday, 20th of March. She's alongside 7th District Senator Shelley Short, who I want to swing back to now. Shelley, I know you want to talk about special education this morning a little bit.
Well, this is a huge issue that we hear from our school districts, from our communities, from parents who have, you know, children with special needs. And really, there's been a cap over the years of how many students can actually be in, you know, considered special education. And for those folks at home, you know, there are additional monies that are available to the school to educate our students with special needs. And some of those needs are quite significant if there are healthcare needs. But the bill we passed, and I supported, actually we all did, was really to remove that cap. Our school districts up until now have had to spend significant local state resource or local collective resources to educate these kids. And really, you know, the state provides some, but it's oftentimes not enough. So I think this bill is a positive step forward. We'll see how it progresses through session, but it would remove the cap, which I think is the right direction.
All right. And, you know, education, has that been something that's been central to a lot of the discussions that you've had this year? I know that it seems like we had just a plethora of different bills that were introduced in all kinds of different compartments, and we were expecting to see a little bit more focus on certain areas than others. Has Ed kind of emerged as one of those?
Absolutely. First of all, it's our paramount duty under our state's constitution. So certainly we have always said that that's the first thing that should be funded before anything else. I will tell you the things that have been a big focus on the funding side have been the increasing administrative expenses for schools. Like they call it MSOC, maintenance operations, types of things, liability insurance is under that. Special ed has been a big topic as well. You know, as well as, you know, should we do, you know, simple majority for the bond levies? That's something I don't support because they haven't shown us a way that the property taxpayers are protected. But there are certainly good funding things that I think that will be good for our school district.
All right. Again, Shelley Short joining us this morning, 7th District Senator, along with Judy Warnick from District 13, a senator there. Let's close things out here. Shelley, I'll stay with you. I know, Judy, you wanted to talk about the PAGES program. We'll do that lastly. But let's talk about some good bills and bad bills that are left over that you're fighting in both directions for right now. And, Shelley, let's stay with you to talk about some of these.
Okay. Well, one, Senator Brown has a bill that would add fentanyl to the child endangerment statute. We've seen too many infants and children that are either significantly, you know, hospitalized or die because of the exposure to fentanyl. Generally, these parents are abusing fentanyl. We need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect kids. That bill is still alive. There's an incredibly bad bill that unfortunately is still alive, and it would allow the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction, OSPI, to go after schools that may want to take a different tact in how they implement the laws that we pass over here. You know, we have 295 individual school districts, but yet we're really mandated. We call it the state, the legislature being the state education board in the sky, because they don't want to see flexibility. They don't want to see how school districts, really implement things in ways that make sense for their students and their districts. This would weaponize OSPI to take away local school district money.
All right. So again, these are things that you're still, I guess, fighting, as I mentioned, either for or against as they head down the home stretch of the Senate proceedings. And we'll wait to get more information from both of you as the legislative sessions to finish out here over the next 5 weeks. Again, Senator Warnick, I want to swing back to you real quick this morning, talk about that PAGES program. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. The PAGES program is for students that age 14 through 17. They can apply through their school district to become a PAGE, or many homeschool students apply. You can get it online. But 14 through 17, so they come over for a week, for 5 days, and spend those 5 days learning what our government system is all about, our political system's all about. And I was able to speak to a class of PAGES yesterday. They're both the House and the Senate. They're sponsored by individual members. I have sponsored 4 PAGES so far this year. But I was able to speak to them and told them a little bit about myself. The questions that I got from them were very insightful. One young man especially, he said, "What can you tell me that you're doing to ensure that my future is going to be good in the state of Washington, that I'm going to have a future as a job and be able to live safely in the state of Washington?" That just kind of broke my heart that he at age 14 is worried about his future. And I'm sure it's a lot about what he reads in the paper or hears on the media, but I have really enjoyed getting to know some of those pages over the years, and I'm going to put a little personal note in. I have 7 grandchildren. All of them have been pages. The last and youngest is a page this week. And it's just been a fantastic program for them to learn what we do here and why bills are important, and a lot of questions about certain bills, just like what you do. But I can't encourage enough young people who might be interested. And that was one question: how do I get involved? How, you know, what should I do? So it's a wonderful program, and I hope we can keep it up. But because it's going to be our future is our children, our youth, and they need to feel that they have a word too. They create their own bills and debate their own bills. And the one was about the blood alcohol content. They wanted to know what I thought about that. You know, so they are very, very thoughtful young people and great teachers.
Well, they are potentially our future legislators, so they're getting an early look over there. And I know that both of you, before we jumped on air here, told me that they also inspire you with some great questions and provide you insight from one of the perspectives of those who you serve here in Washington State, which are youth. So, sounds like it is a great program for sure. Ladies, I'm out of time, but I sure appreciate yours this morning. As always, again, State Senators Judy Warnick and Shelley Short joining me today here on the KPQ Morning Update for our legislative hotline. Senators, will be convening again here in a couple weeks for another update. So until then, appreciate all the work you do over there for us, and I look forward to that next chat.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you.